On today's show, the CIA director is set to declassify intel showing Russia hoax collusion.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
We are in the final days, Will, of our 35 years of Justice Drive. That's right. 3 days left.
I didn't know where I was going. Rapture Prepper mug out.
Yeah. I should have. It is the last 3 days, so you're going to hear a lot about the work of the ACLJ, the incredible work our team has done. But that is not the breaking news of the morning. And again, it feels like this is a bit of a back and forth, a volleying match between whatever's happening in the FBI or the Department of National Intelligence, whatever it may be. And they go back and forth. They go, you don't have anything. Oh, yeah, here's some more. You don't have anything. Oh, yeah, here's some more. And they double down this morning, Will.
That's right. So the Director of National Intelligence, as we know, Tulsi Gabbard, she had released things last week. Now we are understanding that the director of the CIA, John Ratcliffe, will be declassifying underlying intelligence that was the basis for a classified annex to Special Counsel John Durham's report on the weaponization of government with Russia collusion.
You're going to have to keep all the Johns. There's a lot of Johns.
That's right. What this intelligence is going to show, according to sources, is what the intelligence community knew about Russia collusion hoax and when they knew it. And how bad it is for them, including things like there was foreign intelligence that our government had.
Listen to this. Okay, I think we got to slow this down because this is a big moment here. Well, this is where you got to look at how our government reacted just a few years ago, under 10 years ago, working towards what would become the first Trump presidency.
That's right. So there is reports that is what we will see in this underlying intelligence is that foreign governments, other intelligence agencies that shared information with the CIA, John Brennan, the director of the CIA, with what they called surprising specificity, like detailing what was going to happen with the Russia collusion hoax before the FBI ever started Crossfire Hurricane. They were shared this intelligence showing that Hillary Clinton and her team had authorized a smear campaign against President Trump, that this smear campaign would allege he was an asset of Putin, and that all of this was to further the distraction against her emails, as well as that the FBI would amplify these claims through investigative steps. And they said it described the Russia collusion hoax with surprising specificity before the FBI ever opened the investigation.
That was the line that really caught me off guard, was the specificity, saying essentially they knew the plans that were going to happen before that. And not only did they not forward it, they seemed to want to embolden it, to engage in it, to engulf it.
And we're going to get into that in the next segment. Don't go away, because earlier, when we were talking last week about this, there is a part of me that's like, you know, none of these people ever get held accountable. Reading what John Brennan knew, what James Comey knew, according to these reports, there better be some accountability here, because this is a cut and dry case of knowing one thing and then pulling a scam on the entire American public for years, wasting taxpayer money, wasting criminal resources,
right,
and trying to undermine an elected president of the United States. It is shocking what we
absolutely
have seen.
We're going to keep talking about that. I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110, to have your voice heard on the air on this topic or any topic that we've been discussing over the last week. I would love to hear from you once again at 1-800-684-3110. But as Will said, this is it, the final 3 days of our 35 years of Justice Drive. Behind their cases are real people, people that are having their liberties violated, their Christians persecuted. Of course, we're protecting the pro-life speech, we're protecting pro-life babies and mothers. And, of course, there's even preachers being arrested still on the streets for preaching the gospel. The ACLJ exists for the individual as well as the entirety of those who fight for religious freedom across the world. We'll go through that in a little bit more detail coming up. But right now, you can have your donations doubled to ACLJ.org/35 or scan the QR code on your screen right now.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you: life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
To Seculo, phone lines, like I said, are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I did want to take a quick second. There was a shooting yesterday in New York. A lot of you have probably seen it on the news, where a gunman, sadly, in Midtown Manhattan, in one of an area I've spent a lot of time in personally, I lived right there for a period of time, went in and sadly shot and killed four people. Now, I'm not going to go into personal details of this, but what I would ask you to do right now is pray for members of the ACLJ family. One of our senior staff, senior attorneys, was directly involved in terms of it being someone very close to them who has passed away. So again, I don't want to give them any more details than that, give you more details than that, because I want to respect their privacy right now. But I do ask you, as this news was rolling in last night, this hit very close to home for the members of our team. You can get kind of desensitized to these shootings that happen, because you can kind of say, well, it's four people, and you know, it could have been much worse and all that. But when you see how it directly affects a family that has lost a loved one for no reason, it's really a shocking moment. So I encourage you right now, as we're here on the air, as we begin to take more calls, to take a second and pray for members of our ACLJ team who are dealing with some pretty unimaginable suffering right now due to that specific attack in Midtown Manhattan. That's all I'm going to say about it today, because again, I want to respect their privacy. But with that, we'll continue on the conversation, because phone lines are starting to come in. Some of you called in with specific questions. I would like to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. Pivoting back to the news, always going to be a little hard here, so we'll just make it as less awkward as we can. Some of you are just joining us right now. We know a lot of you are joining us right this second. So let's restate, Will, what's going on.
That's right. So there's several reports that have started to come out about some intelligence that is expected to be declassified this week by the director of the CIA, John Ratcliffe. And there's multiple reports, and because you're getting it from different sources, we haven't seen the primary documents yet. But what we're expected to get is declassified intelligence that was in an annex to the John Durham report. We know that the John Durham report, special counsel, was highly critical of the way that the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, the weaponization of the government, unfolded under the FBI leadership of James Comey, and then following with the special counsel, Robert Mueller, and the intel agencies. What we haven't seen is what a lot of his report was based on, because it was classified intelligence product. That tells the full story. And that is what we are expected to see declassified by John Ratcliffe and then either released by the Department of Justice, because that is a work product of a special counsel, or they can release it through someone like Chairman Grassley of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which is how they've released some of these other things that have come out, such as the Clinton email classified annex that was released just a few weeks ago. But here's some of the things that we're hearing already. One is a report out of Fox News. The other is out of Tablet Magazine. These are a good chance they're talking about the same thing. But until we see it, we won't know if these are two separate items. But they seem to correlate pretty closely. Fox is saying that there was alarming specificity in the intelligence before Crossfire Hurricane was opened by the FBI. That was the investigation into Trump-Russia collusion.
We're talking about now at least 10 years.
Right.
If not 11 plus.
2015, 2016. 2016 is when a lot of this work product was first obtained by the intelligence
community. But it's just now getting to the light of day because we have a new administration.
That's right. And this administration is being transparent, showing what went on. And one of the really shocking details to me is that, and bear with me for a minute here, the director of the CIA at the time, this was at the end of the Obama administration as the 2016 election cycle was going forward, received intelligence from the Dutch spy agency. So that would be the Dutch equivalent to the CIA, that they were spying on Russia. And they saw that Russia had hacked the DNC, which was widely known, and received communications, internal documents. That Russia knew that Hillary Clinton and her campaign had authorized a smear campaign of Donald Trump. And what they were going to claim is that Donald Trump was an asset of Putin, and that would damage his credibility and help her get
familiar.
Elected.
It feels like maybe we heard that a few times.
And so it's interesting. One, we've now learned the Russians knew about that.
Yeah, because this was
did nothing.
This was before that narrative began.
So that already discredits the later intelligence community assessment that the Russians wanted Donald Trump to win. How could they hurt Hillary Clinton if they said, hey, by the way, she's about to launch a false attack on us? How do we know? Yeah, we hacked her emails. But this isn't true. That would damage the credibility of the Clinton campaign. And that would help Donald Trump potentially get elected if that was the goal of the Russians. So the Dutch say, hey, we've learned about what the Clinton campaign is going to do because we're spying on the Russians. And what did John Brennan do, the director of the CIA? He took this and they called it the Clinton Plan Intelligence. So what the campaign was going to do. And he briefed senior White House officials. He briefed the director of national intelligence, James Clapper. He briefed the president and he briefed James Comey, the director of the FBI at the time. What transpired after that is that this other intelligence says the FBI is going to be amplifying this work product of the Clintons that released this. They did exactly what the intelligence told them they were going to do. Instead of investigating the Clinton campaign for trying to fabricate intelligence, they did what they were forecasted to do. They started investigating President Trump about this fake plan. Now, James
Clapper.
While
knowing that it was not only a fake plan, it was a plan that was created intentionally to disrupt the election and to swing votes potentially to Hillary Clinton.
That's right. And so John Brennan.
So they were like, that's a good idea, Putin.
Brennan knew this was going to happen. James Clapper knew it was going to happen. James Comey knew it was going to happen. Those are the three people that there have been criminal referrals about. James Comey, James Clapper, John Brennan. They all knew.
Three J's.
And nowhere in the intelligence community assessment, which was released, did they mention that they had this intelligence. They even testified that they had no idea about this later. They lied to Congress. They lied to the media.
Right.
They lied to the American people. He said, it rings true.
It rings true.
So now we are seeing that even the special counsel, which many ask, why didn't the special counsel, John Durham, bring charges? I mean, we do know that he was probably reined in by Merrick Garland to some degree because that was the attorney general under Joe Biden. But we know that these individuals knew that this was a scam to begin with that was cooked up by the Clinton campaign. They knew that the Russians knew about it and weren't doing anything about it, which would help Hillary Clinton if she were to get out there with this information, which she did. And they did nothing about it. Instead of shutting it down, they amplified it. They started an investigation based off of something that they already knew wasn't true. Yeah. They lied to the American people. They lied to Congress. They wasted taxpayer money. They tried to subvert a presidency. If that's not a treasonous conspiracy, I don't know what is.
I want to go to a phone call before we go to break here. Let's go to Tom, who's calling Washington State. Tom, you're on the air.
That's a lot of spitballs thrown on the wall there, you said there, buddy. That's simple intelligence tradecraft. You throw out a lot of landmines, or sea mines, if you will, and they just float around out there until somebody wants to pick them up and apply it to a narrative. And excellent job. Excellent job. You've done a fine job of being a useful idiot. That's all I got to say.
I appreciate it, Tom. Yeah, well, I appreciate the compliment, calling us useful idiots.
Yeah, it's a technical foul.
What is interesting about your...
good comment, too.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, I love when you don't tell the screener what you really want to say. But to your point, Tom, whatever you want to believe about this...
Am I the idiot or are you the idiot?
I think we both are at this point.
I don't know. You said a lot more than I did.
Okay, so I'm the idiot, apparently.
I think today you can be the idiot.
What is the difference here in what he can say? Intelligence tradecraft? Are you suggesting that the intelligence community is still furthering this conspiracy?
Because
that would
true.
Help with the statute of limitations. But if the director of the CIA knew this, they had credible evidence, they had credible intelligence reports they believed... and then they did the opposite of that. I don't know if that's good use of tradecraft or if that's good use of the spy All agencies right. as well, as we know that they believe something different until Trump got elected, then they changed their mind. So you tell me who was being the useful idiots in the government at the time that decided to undermine the Constitution.
Mm. Will got triggered. That being said, phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. When we get back, CeCe Hiles is going to be joining us, a senior counsel here at the ACLJ, with a big update of what the ACLJ is doing worldwide, including in the Congo, something that we have been talking about. It's gotten a little quiet. We maybe don't know why. A lot of times the ACLJ work has to get a little quiet for us to get the work done, so then we can reveal to you what we're doing even more. But it comes after another horrendous attack. We're going to be discussing that coming up in the next segment, so stay tuned. Again, final 3 days of our 35 years of Justice Drive, all donations are matched. So if you give $25, that becomes how much, Will?
Becomes $50.
It becomes $50. I was checking your math.
Well, I've done poor math before on you.
Yeah, I know. Scan the QR code if you got it right now. It rings true, Will. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. This is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ, but this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work. It's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secula. We are in the last few days of our 35 years of justice drive. And with that, I always want to talk about the work of the ACLJ as well. We'll get back to the breaking news of the day if you have a call or question about that. We've got a few lines open. And, you know, be kind to our phone screener, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. But senior counsel for the ACLJ, CeCe Hiles, in the studio right now because we have some updates. A lot of people have been asking. We work internationally on a lot of these cases, whether it's at the ECLJ, our European Center, whether it's ACLJ Jerusalem, and then some places we don't or can't talk about. But this is an update, another kind of sad update, coming out of the Congo, the DRC. Maybe we can just get an update of where we are and what's been going on.
Yeah, so sadly, ISIS is still alive and well through the Allied Democratic Forces, ADF, and they are an Islamic rebel terrorist group that has come out of Uganda. And they come out of Uganda and they go into the northeastern section of the DRC and they absolutely wreak terror and havoc upon that area. And if you recall, back in February, there were 70 people that were beheaded in a church by ADF. Well, just on Sunday, after about a month of reprieve, because, you know, there was a peace agreement signed between the DRC and Rwanda, which kind of took care of the M23 rebel groups. But you still have ADF, again, with ties to ISIS. They're an Islamic terrorist group. ADF is still apparently alive and well. And just on Sunday, they attacked a church service, again, targeting Christians. And they killed 40, well, I'm going to say at least 43 people because they're still finding bodies and people are still missing. 43 people, including 9 children. And these people, once again, were shot point blank or killed by machetes by the ADF, specifically targeting Christians. And once again, the ACLJ and the ECLJ will jump into action. And I'll speak a little bit more about that, of what we've already done so far at the UN regarding the DRC.
That's right. And we will get into that as well, because we have some more action points coming up that we, the ACLJ, through the ECLJ, will be engaging. But CeCe, this is, it's a complex area. The Democratic Republic of Congo has many different factions. There's a large Christian population. There's a lot of culturally Christian there as well. It's not like Syria, where it's an Islamic nation. But what we're seeing is the Christian community, especially the faithful Christians, ones that are in church worshiping, are getting swept up in what was for a long time sectarian violence or just rebel groups versus the government. And they happen to be ending up being killed because they are easy targets in some cases. But now, what was for the world maybe a cover of some of like, this is, it's really complex, we can show the world that what we have been saying for a long time is that there is a vulnerable Christian population that even if you take away the sectarian violence and the rebel groups in the government, because now that has to some degree happened with some of these ceasefires, you see that the Christian population that had nothing to do with that conflict were being targeted and are continually being targeted by groups like the ADF, which is the Allied Democratic Forces, this ISIS-related group, and they're being brutally killed for no other reason than that they are Christians worshiping and they're an easy target to these groups.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we have continued to point out, that it is not, yes, there are issues going on with the hundred of militias that are there fighting for mineral rights and rare earth rights and things, because it's a very rich Uganda, yeah. Northeast Uganda is very rich in that. But the problem is ADF targets Christians because they are Christians. They have done that.
Like
and
ISIS.
We can't lump.
Same.
Yes, this right. is ISIS. We know that they're trying to wipe out Christians because of their Christian faith when they hit a Christian church service and kill the people that are there worshiping. That is a target on Christians. And so we keep reminding our leaders in the United States, too, that ADF and persecuted Christians are an issue that need to be dealt with in the DRC, along with the bigger problem as well. But do not forget that. And I think ADF is taking advantage of that, that a lot of the focus is on M23 and some other things. And they're coming in now and wrecking havoc.
Well, and for the American people, it's really not even part of their news cycle at this point. That's why it's important for us to do these kind of segments. Look, I know. I can see our viewership. Sometimes it drops down a little, or maybe the comments are less, because it's not as easy to understand or easy to picture even what's happening. That's why we have CC and our European Center team. That is why we have international affiliates. I know it's not that easy to understand. I know we have to break down why it's important. But it's also important because of basic human rights and religious freedom rights that are not uniquely, or should not be uniquely, American. Now, of course, it helps that you have a country that does stand up for that, for the most part, stands up for those who believe in different things or believe in nothing at all. But that is not the case around the world. And you have some of these groups that can run wild around the world because you also have government and politics and everything that goes into that. And sometimes there's some turning the other way, not looking at what is going on.
Right. And we see that even at the UN. A lot of times this, you know, persecution will be kind of pushed to the side because it is targeting Christians. They'll lump it into something else. But the UN came out with a press release condemning this action, which I don't want to take full credit for that. But we just spent, from right after the event in February, we just spent a long time talking and writing letters and actually bringing people to give testimony before UN members and special rapporteurs and the European Parliament. And I think because we keep this front and center in front of them, that has helped that they made a public statement condemning ADF's actions targeting and slaughtering Christians.
Absolutely. And we have a couple lines open for you. And we are going to pivot after this back to your questions and comments and talk about the topics of the day. But we always think it's important, Will. And when we're talking about 35 years of justice, it's not 35 years confined by the border of the United States of America. That includes our ECLJ. That includes all of the different affiliates that we've had. Because though the ACLJ primarily, it's American Center for Law and Justice, we're there for the individuals in America, but we are also there for the individuals and the organizations and the governments that need us and the constitutions that need to be written and all the things that need to get done to help export some of our values all around the world.
That's right. And as CC brought up, even with that press release that came out of the UN, if it weren't for the work of the ECLJ team and CC and her team here and in DC that push these issues before the UN, that would prefer to not have to deal with them. We know what the UN's MO is, and they would prefer not to have to address these issues because they would much rather just be criticizing Israel. They'd much rather just be trying to give the Palestinian statehood. They don't want to deal with persecution of Christians. But our team is smart. They know how to look at the issues and present it to the way to the UN that they can't ignore it. And we will continue to do that. I know that we have upcoming reports on places like Syria, where we've talked about the Druze and the Christian populations being targeted there for their faith, and many other issues that we will continue to fight even in the weeks ahead and years ahead and ongoing.
That's right. Absolutely, CC. You got a second? You got,
no, that's okay. All right. Go ahead.
All right. We are about to wrap up this first half hour of Secula. We have a full second half hour coming up. Make sure you join us live or taped later on. If you want to watch the re-airs, you can do that, of course, at aclj.org. But live, you can watch us on YouTube and on Rumble. We're broadcasting live there from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time, as well as on the Salem News Channel and many other outlets. But we want to be available wherever we can. And that is why we are celebrating 35 years of justice, but it's also why there's never a paywall for our work. If you want to see what we're doing, if you want to be able to share something with your friends, there is no workaround you have to do. There's no reader mode you have to do. We want you to send this content to everyone you can so they can get informed, and they can't do that without your support. So go to aclj.org. We'll be right back.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights and standing for freedom. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
That's right. Second half hour of Seculo coming up right now. We are live on ACLJ.org. We're live on YouTube, on Rumble. So many places where thousands of you join us each and every day live, and then millions throughout the day and throughout the week. Maybe you're catching up on the show in a week. Whatever it is, we don't care. We want to make sure you're always informed and engaged. We always want to make sure that's without a paywall, nothing you have to sign into. We just want to make sure it's available because we want you to share this content with as many people as possible. That is the work of the ACLJ. We're not ad-supported. We're not supported by anyone other than you, the individual donor and the ACLJ champion. I'm actually going to jump to an ACLJ champion because when they call in, a lot of times I try to push them to the very front. That's what happens. There have been people on hold for a half hour already. But you know what? Carrie in Montana, ACLJ champion, bump to the front of the line. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to comment on the spitball man. Hillary Clinton, Obama, Comey, and the spitball man. If you're anti-American, maybe you should move to the Congo that CC was talking about and stop criticizing us good guys. Thank you, Will, and all of you brothers and sisters, and happy birthday, I think, to your dad.
Yeah, it was my dad's birthday last month. It was Jordan's birthday a couple weeks ago, so yeah.
Jordan, maybe that's what, but we love you guys, and we are so grateful.
You had me questioning. I was like, oh, no, whose birthday did I miss? There's somebody's, I'm sure.
I was hoping she was right, and you were wrong. You know?
Hey, it's you know what, though? It is our head writer, Bart's 50th birthday. Yeah. So you know what? A lot of that content you read on our website, a lot of it is crafted and curated by Bart. So you know what? We'll give him the happy birthday, Carrie. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Will, we only have like 3 minutes in this segment, but people who don't know, maybe we need to give them a little bit of a refresher. She was talking about spitball man, all these things. They may have missed what the context of this was.
Right. So what we expect is soon that the director of the CIA, John Ratcliffe, will declassify the intelligence, the underlying intelligence of the classified annex of Special Counsel John Durham's report on the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. Why this is important is it gives a lot of the rationale for a lot of the things that we saw in his report that were critical of the spy agencies, the FBI, the government, as they unfolded this Russia collusion hoax. And she's referencing Spitball Man. That was someone that was trying to criticize our analysis of this entire story, saying that you just don't understand tradecraft. You don't understand how spy games work. Mm-hmm. I've seen Spy Game. Great movie.
We've been to the Spy Museum. I used to have one of those pins that you could put and you could listen and record.
What I think is so interesting, too, is that, one, it shows even that caller in and of itself kind of shows how bad of a place that even our intelligence agencies got. That's where Tulsi Gabbard and people like John Ratcliffe that saying we're going back to doing the work of the Central Intelligence Agency. Instead, they just became political bureaus transacting in political materials to damage or prop up campaigns. His entire comment about how, I mean, that's how spy agencies work. They just throw out landmines and whatever you want to pick up, you can use. No, there's still standards to analytical tradecraft and spycraft and what they do and how they analyze the intelligence. That's why some reports, as they build others, are more credible than others, depending on who the source is, how they acquired the information from the source. It's not just like they're just making up everything and putting it out there. Now, yes, there is distracting information they'll put out to try to throw other people off. That's the game of the intelligence community and world. But it's also why a lot of people criticize where it got to. And the fact that he's saying that we're just picking up on remnant things, it's like, there is a narrative here, and we've been talking about it for 10 years. And now the intelligence that's being released is showing that what we talked about the entire time was accurate. And if anyone should know about how poorly the special counsel, Bob Mueller, went, it would be people here at the ACLJ because we lived through it in real time.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, when we get back, we're going to continue this conversation. Phone lines are mostly jammed. We have one open right now, 1-800-684-3110. As we head into this break, we've asked you to pray about and think about. We are 3 days away from the end of this 35 years of Justice Drive. We need your support. Help us break some records today. Help us meet our budget and exceed it, if possible, right now.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Welcome back to Secula. We are going to take a lot of your calls and comments coming up in the next segment. But, you know, just when you think corruption couldn't get any crazier, just when you think there isn't more to unveil, this one will. If you're watching during the break, you saw some of the phone or the video footage of this topic, because the FBI once again caught spying on who? Catholic priests. This time, Catholic priests who just didn't want to divulge some details of the conversations they were having with parishioners.
That's right. So what we are finding more and more as this new administration is releasing documents that were refused to be released to Congress, who provides oversight of these executive branches during the last administration, is quite shocking. And we followed this. We filed FOIA requests. We got a lot of information out about this. We found out that it wasn't just one field office in Richmond that went rogue and decided, hey, let's target some Catholic churches while we're at it. Now we learned, even through our FOIA, that it went to multiple field offices, that this was a coordinated thing, and that they wanted to make this a national work product, that the FBI would be targeting Catholic churches. And even their assessment of why they were writing this was because they assessed that interest in what they considered radical traditional Catholic churches, which they designated, they came up with that term, that interest in these churches was likely to increase over the next 24 to 24 months in the run-up to the next general election cycle. And why was that? Because these churches were pro-life, because they had conservative values. And so that's why they were targeting these churches.
And that is why they use terms like radical traditional Catholics, because they want to make sure you understand we're not talking about the liberal church. We're not talking about the progressive church. We're only talking about the conservatives, the real Christians that are in it.
Exactly.
Believers.
And even as we talked about that other story, what we're seeing more and more, this memo.
Went after Amy Coney Barrett at the very beginning.
Right. This memo was specifically because of the election. They were concerned about people being interested in these churches because of the election. And that's why we know that the FBI, all the intelligence agencies, that's why, to use the terms of Director Brennan, it just rings true, because that's what they were doing. But here's what the new layer that came out of this Judiciary Committee report in the House under the leadership of the House Judiciary Committee is that Jim Jordan and his committee release this, and it says that not only were they writing this memo on how to do this, they had actually put this into practice. And they talk about one specific story where a priest at a Catholic church in Richmond, where this memo came out of, was visited by the FBI and someone that the FBI was investigating. And they wanted to know the content of the conversations between the priest and the person who was converting to Catholicism. He was receiving spiritual guidance. Yeah. That is typically protected speech. And when they started asking direct questions, they said, oh, he got nervous and started stuttering his way through it. And so therefore, we decided we need to start investigating this priest.
You have these guys in front of you and you don't get nervous.
And then that what triggered them even further was then he said, I need to speak with the church's counsel, our attorneys, and leadership to know how to proceed. Because the FBI is telling us, you got to answer these questions. And he's like, I'm a priest. I know that there are privileges that we have when counseling people, when leading them to faith. And here's what the FBI did. They didn't just start to snoop around more, talk to other people. They started looking at this priest's bank records. This priest went to London for a Catholic conference. They sent a request to the foreign spy agencies in England, as well as the Metropolitan Police Counterterrorism Unit, to make sure they were keeping tabs on this priest when he was at a Catholic conference in England. They were running an entire counterterrorism campaign against a priest because he was doing his job as a priest and talking to someone who was interested in converting to his faith.
In private.
And you want to know what also? Their one caveat, why they said the privilege didn't apply? Because that person hadn't been baptized yet into the Catholic Church. So therefore, they had no privilege.
So they're one of those. Not only do you have to be baptized to be saved, you have to be baptized to have government protection.
Yeah, to have privilege, First Amendment protection, freedom of religion, privacy between your clergy. And that's where it's absurd. It's also not that they continue to target the individual, because who knows what that person did or whatever. That's not the point of this. The point of this is that the member of the clergy was specifically targeted, and when he wouldn't answer questions, they ran a counterterrorism operation on him. They started researching his ordination, going back into his history, his college records. They were going into all this simply because he was a priest and was nervous about talking to law enforcement because of protections that they
have. We know this has been an issue for many years now. And the ACLJ has fought back hard to try to figure out how we can respond to this, whether that's representing individuals, representing the churches, representing organizations, or getting involved even in just a media advocacy campaign. There are many different ways the ACLJ gets involved. When you have a situation like this, sometimes it is as much about spreading the word. That is why we don't, like I said, I've said it maybe ad nauseum today, we don't put the show behind a paywall. We don't put any of our content behind a paywall. All of it is available for free, 24/7 for you to take, learn from it, share it with your friends. You have to loan it to them. You don't have to send some weird gift article. You don't have to give them your login and pretend, you know, they did that. You know, that's a moral thing to do. All you have to do is copy and paste and send it to your friends, because we think it's so important for the ACLJ work to always be available to everyone and whoever needs it for their own resources. Or maybe sometimes these topics get a little heady. I know they do for me sometimes. And maybe you don't have a Will in your life who can break it all down for you, but you do, because you can take Will's content and just share it. Say, listen to this 3 minutes. It's going to change your life.
And Logan, I do want to read this to you, this point, because it proves once again that the FBI was in the business of election interference, even under Christopher Wray, because they refused to give all this over under the Obama administration before Christopher Wray left that position. It took Akash Patel in that position to get this information to Congress, who was doing their legitimate oversight of the executive agency. This is from the outlook of that Richmond memo. Richmond, FBI Richmond assesses that the interest in radical traditional Catholics is likely to increase over the next 12 to 24 months in the run-up to the next general election cycle, complicating the overall threat picture while also creating new opportunities for mitigation efforts, i.e. spying on churches. This assessment is made in light of ongoing polarization characterizing the U.S. political environment and the probability that policy issues of mutual interest to these are domestic violent extremists and RTC, Radical Tradition Catholics, adherent will remain in the public spotlight, catalyzing events such as judicial decisions in areas such as abortion rights, immigration, affirmative action, etc. They are saying that court cases from the U.S. Supreme Court are causing radical traditional Catholic interest to rise over the course of the next general election. They were trying to spy on churches for election interference. Just like James Comey, who was apparently briefed on the matter from the director of the CIA, that, hey, guess what? These intelligence agencies know that the Hillary Clinton campaign is trying to use you to spread this disinformation. And what did he do with that? Instead of investigating that, instead he's like, sounds like a good idea. Yeah, I mean, Maybe we should do that.
It reads true.
It does read true.
Read true, ring true.
But it may just be a bunch of spitballs at the wall trying to see what sticks.
Phone lines are jammed. Actually, there's one call. There's one line open. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. You know what? I'm going to go to Candy real quick in Georgia. She's got a good quick comment. Go ahead.
Hey there. First and foremost, you guys are not useless, nor are you idiots. You're welcome. And I'm happy that the administration is doing something. I think they will hold people accountable with the Epstein Russia hoax and the 2020 election fraud. You all, like I said, are doing a good job. Sometimes I might even disagree with you guys, but then you explain your side of the story and then I understand. So thank you so much for you guys.
Look, Candy, that's 100% what I've always told you. And I believe it truly. I think that's what makes our show and our entire perspective unique. Which is, I know what you want me to say. I know what a lot of you want me to say. But I'm not going to. I'm just going to tell you the truth. And our perspective on that truth may not line up with yours. Because you may go, oh, that's not what I want to hear. But it doesn't matter. We've been through this long enough to know, will there be consequences for actions? Will things happen? Will this court case go anywhere? There's a lot of other organizations that are out there asking for money, just like we are right now, asking for your support. But you know what? They know they've got losers on their hands. I don't mean that in the actual people. I mean that with cases and the topics they're bringing up. We're not going to do that. We're going to shoot straight with you. Be honest. That is 100% what the American people want right now. They don't want Republican. They don't want Democrat. They just want someone to tell them the truth of what's really happening. And like I said, we've been through it here at the ACLJ. We know what's happening. And we're going to give it to you, even if you don't like it. 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air. We got one line open. But again, last few days of our 35 years of justice drive, this is it. Be a part of celebrating the thousands of cases we have taken over the years. And of course, so much more to come. Nothing slows down. No days off here at the ACLJ. Our team works 24/7 and they need your support because no big sponsors are coming in. It's all you. ACLJ.org. We'll be right back with your calls and comments.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secula. This is it. We're going to take your phone call because a lot of you have called in right now. Let's just go in the order they came in, unless you're an ACLJ champion, then you get bumped to the front of the line. But as of right now, unless you told them they didn't tell me, there are no champions on the line right now. But if you're a champion right now and you call in, you're going to bump people who've been on hold for 40 minutes. Kent's calling in Texas, though. Kent, welcome.
Hallelujah to the Lamb, you guys. You're doing the tremendous works for the world. I have one quick question here concerning our pilots that are flying these B-2s. You know, they're young, aggressive, and they're not afraid to die. And I had an opportunity of being in the Air Force in Athens, Greece, for 3.5 years. And one night, got a call. Primary was down on the spy plane. Fire up the rig, row house. I did. I got the communication to the pilot. Next thing I know, there's thumping on the door. He said, are you the guy that got me that data? I said, I am. Let's go for a drink. I just want to emphasize the value of our pilots. They put their life on the line 24/7, and we're so blessed to have these young ones out there ready to fight for our country. Concerning Obama, will he ever be prosecuted? That's my question. Are he going to just skate all the way?
No. It took us a little bit to get there. I was hoping you'd get to your question. One, of course, we thank everyone for their service to this country, including those, like you said, when you look at the military operation that had to be taken care of in Iran. Pretty wild to hear the stories, the amount of time they're in the air, the refueling midair. It is amazing work of not just technology, but of American spirit. So, of course, we want to thank them. Your big question was, is it possible for Obama to ever be brought to justice? You said, do you think he'll get anything happens? Now, this becomes a bit of a stickier situation because a lot of people are asking similar questions. And maybe we should take some of these as well. So maybe we'll look at the other questions. Make sure we don't answer this before we answer these others.
Sure.
Just so three of them are very
we'll
similar.
We'll give them a narrowly tailored
Will he
answer.
Be brought to justice?
However, Kent, also continue to listen as we go to people John and Clint who will have similar, more elaborate answers on their specific question.
Will he be brought to justice?
Is it possible for ever to be brought to justice? If what we're seeing...
What's your definition of that, too?
Well, right. I mean, there's a lot of even in the public eye, discredited entire administration because at the very end of it, he decided to participate in this sort of coup that was unfolding as it's been described by Tulsi Gabbard. That's where it's going to be very tricky.
Everyone.
As far as an indictment... On an issue that is directly related to the intelligence community assessment and his directive would be extremely hard to get above the hurdle of presidential immunity for the official acts and having an intelligence briefing, calling a meeting of principals would be hard pressed to say that that wasn't an official act, even if the consequence of it was something that appeared to be a treasonous conspiracy. So they would have to know a lot more, and there would have to be a lot of other things that were directly outside of that or continued after his presidency that they would be able to target. But I think it would be very hard for them to go after the president. And as President Trump said, he has a lot to thank me for. So yeah, I think that's kind of where the mind of
the
president
actual
is.
President Obama, there'll be a lot of issues there. But let's go ahead. John, Pennsylvania, next call up. I know you got a similar question. Go ahead.
It's not a question, it's a comment, but many have blamed President Trump for an attempted coup on January 6th, but despite his call for a peaceful protest that day, recent evidence has come to light suggesting that former President Obama, along with Brennan, Comey, and Clapper, may have been involved in what we consider a real coup. It's just frustrating to see these serious allegations and what the Democrats seem to do or blame when they're really doing it.
Look, John, when Tulsi Gabbard said things like treasonous and all of that, I go, those are some big words.
She said treasonous conspiracy and a years-long coup against the president of the United States.
I said those are big words to just throw around there, and I like that this documentation is starting to get out more and more because it's proving her right. It's proving her more and more that she was telling us the truth. It wasn't just ringing true, that she was telling us the truth. So, John, appreciate that. Again, a lot of people have similar feelings because they know, you kind of know this stuff is happening behind the scenes. I feel like a lot of you are smart enough to know politics is very dirty. As I always say, politics is a blood sport. But man, when you actually get to read the email, see what's happening, it's a different world. Let's go to Tina in Nevada on line one.
Hi, I have a comment. I just read that Bill Barr told Durham not to pursue certain things when he was doing his report.
Yeah, I'm not sure specifically, Tina, on that instance. No, Will's doing some digging right now.
Right.
I don't want to give you any information that See, this is where we're honest with you. I could just spitball you, well, if you will, an answer here and tell you that I know. I don't know that answer.
So, Tina, we'll look into that, and maybe it's something we'll address tomorrow on the broadcast. Yes, it is. The timeline is that
some reporting.
Bill Barr was the attorney general at the beginning when he appointed John Durham to look into this, and then obviously John Durham continued into the early years of the Biden administration under Merrick Garland. I've also seen reporting that it was Merrick Garland that told him don't go certain places, maybe don't bring prosecutions. According to John Durham, the special counsel, he testified that there was no interference from the attorney general in telling him what he could or could not do. Whether that was a professional courtesy, whether it was not a directive, but things are different, we may never know. But as of right now, that was what John Durham said, that he had full free reign. And so at some degree, you take him for his word at that. Right. But I'll look into that as well.
Two calls, 2 minutes. Let's do it. James in New York, go ahead.
Hi, my question regards conspiracy or statute of limitations and what acts, and also why. So why are the legal analysts focusing on a 5-year statute of limitations for lying when it's a conspiracy that we all know happened? And so
there's two different answers to that, James. There is, of course, revealing the truth, and then what are the consequences of the truth?
Right. And James, I actually like this question because earlier we had a clip in one of the breaks that did talk about the 5-year statute of limitations running. And that, I think, is what a lot of people are missing because, one, this is a very novel thing. Hopefully, this is the only time this has happened in our history. But once again, you have to look at it. I think the choice of the words by Tulsi Gabbard, treasonous conspiracy, would mean a conspiracy of people to commit treason would not have a statute of limitations based off the definition of treason. It's in the Constitution. It's not a statute, and there's no time limit on treason. So I think there's a lot we don't know, and there's a lot that the DOJ hasn't done yet.
James, all right, thank you. Clint, you're up. Last call of the day. You got about 1 minute.
Why is any of this activity, why did Obama allow this to be, let's just say him, documented? So it could be, did he really think that it would never see the light of day? That's my question. If I'm a deplorable, I knew at 16 not to text my buddies that I was coming to their party. Yeah, Clint, my mom told me I couldn't go to.
Clint, I think a lot of this is what happens at the White House, what happens, a lot of it is documented. And they're just throwing out ideas. They're coming up with concepts. What's going on? They're getting briefed on information. So it's not about not knowing it was going to come out. It's when it comes out, is anyone going to care?
Clint, I think another thing to point out is that at 16, you probably didn't have the hubris that the President of the United States and Barack Obama and all of them had. They, to become President of the United States, I don't care which one, you have to be a little bit of a narcissist.
Yeah, you get a little crazy.
And I think that
the old Jerry Seinfeld bit, you have to, if you would think you should be the leader of everything,
right,
and you think you do a good job at it, you got to be a little crazy.
And I also think to that point is that they thought it was going to work. Mm-hmm. They thought this was the insurance plan, that Trump would be impeached or criminally charged, well, and that he wouldn't be the president anymore. That was their goal.
The plan you need is to support the work of the ACLJ because we'll be there for you when you need us, if, as long as we have your support. You go to aclj.org/help. When that happens, you fill out a simple form. You get it assigned to an attorney at no cost to you, by the way. No cost to our clients. But right now, that only happens because the only reason this show is on the air and the only reason we have all the incredible work that we do here is because of you. As we wrap up this 35 years of justice drive, I want you to be a part of it. These are real people behind these cases. Real people behind the scenes here. I'm looking at them right now. I want you to support us. All your gifts are doubled today. That's at aclj.org. We will talk to you tomorrow. Scan that QR code.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights and standing for freedom. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.